Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 87 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Tom Martin.
We think that that provision does not relate to allegations of misconduct in office.
Attorneys representing a circuit court judge are preparing to take her case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Police are looking for more information about an alleged assault at Cave Run Lake.
A sex offender has been arrested for kidnapping after a standoff in Bath County.
Investors are hoping to recoup $1.2 million from the now bankrupt Interblue.
A forum concerning logging within the city limits was held in Moorhead last night.
In sports, 16th region teams are preparing for games later this week.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear with a low around 58. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Attorneys for 21st Circuit Judge Beth Mays are in court today, this time in Franklin County. Mays is currently on paid leave after being charged with official misconduct by the State Judicial Conduct Committee. She also faces felony forgery charges in Bath County stemming from the arrest of her ex-husband on drug charges in 2017. Mays' attorney, Tom Clay, says he will argue that the Judicial Conduct Committee does not have the authority to remove a judge who is an elected official from the bench.
There are provisions in the Kentucky Constitution that provide that the power to impeach is with the state legislature, and that power is inviolable. And then there's another section that states the JCC has authority to discipline judges, suspend them, impose discipline, and remove them for cause.
Clay says the provision only relates to disqualification from being a judge, not for criminal accusations. Both Clay and the special prosecutor in the criminal case filed a motion for a change of venue last week. A final hearing with the Judicial Conduct Committee has been delayed while the Supreme Court cases are conducted.
The Kentucky State Police in Moorhead are seeking assistance regarding an assault at Cave Run Lake earlier this summer. The incident occurred at a private campground on July 29th. Scott Farrell is the public affairs officer for the Kentucky State Police at Post 8 in Moorhead. He says, unfortunately, there hasn't been much to go on.
Three individuals had assaulted a 64-year-old male and left in either a tan or silver Chevy Avalanche. That if anyone knows the one or has any information on this, if they could call the Kentucky State Police Post 8 here in Moorhead.
The phone number for the KSP Post 8 is 606-784-4127.
A registered sex offender was arrested this morning following a standoff in Bath County that started with a hostage situation in Montgomery County. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office tells WKYT Terry Wilson tied up a woman at a home on Stepstone Road early this morning. The victim was eventually able to free herself and ran to a nearby home for help. Investigators later found the suspect barricaded in an old home on his property in Bath County. Wilson was arrested around 1:40 a.m. He's charged with kidnapping, and more charges are expected. He's being held in the Montgomery County Jail.
A man has died after being found with a gunshot wound in a parking garage in Frankfort. Police responded to a parking garage on St. Clair Street in downtown Frankfort around 12:30 this morning. The unidentified victim was found on the second floor of a parking garage with gunshot wounds. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. A dog was also found dead at the scene. Police arrested and charged 40-year-old Antonio Balling with the murder, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and cruelty to animals. This is the second deadly shooting in Frankfort in just a matter of days. One man was killed and two others were injured in a Labor Day shooting at East Frankfort Park. Frankfort Police Captain Dustin Bowman says the two shootings are not related.
Kentucky State Police at the Pikeville Post are investigating a fatal crash in Floyd County. Mountaintop Media reports troopers responded to the crash shortly before 12:30 Tuesday afternoon on Kentucky Route 122, just past South Floyd School. The initial investigation indicates a passenger vehicle driven by 79-year-old Clark Thornsberry of Melvin failed to negotiate a curve, struck a guardrail, and left the roadway and struck an embankment. Thornsberry was pronounced deceased by the Floyd County coroner, Greg Nelson. This remains an open investigation.
Charges have been upgraded against a woman accused of killing a child in a Lexington drunk driving crash. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
Sequoia Collins admitted to having a few drinks before getting behind the wheel in July. She eventually crashed into a car, killing 10-year-old Alexia Gomez Hernandez and injuring five others. Collins had originally been charged with DUI, but Lexington police learned she'd been driving in excess of 80 miles per hour while extremely intoxicated. She's now charged with one count of murder, two counts of first-degree assault, and two counts of wanton endangerment. I'm Haley Hansen.
Investors are going to court to recover $1.2 million they staked in a defunct battery manufacturing project in eastern Kentucky. The Appalachian News Express first reported the lawsuit, which alleges that executives with InnerBlue deliberately misled investors about the Pikeville area project. Politicians on both sides of the aisle had praised the proposed plant, with former Democratic Senate Minority Leader Ray Jones calling the $400 million project a potential game changer, and Governor Matt Bevin labeling it as transformative. The Lexington Herald Leader reports state and local leaders had rushed to support the plant, which promised 875 full-time jobs, even extending a $6 million grant from the State Energy and Environment Cabinet to help build the site. Now, Pikeville EB Investors is filing suit, hoping to force InnerBlue's executive chairman and CEO to return $1.2 million. The company filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy in June. The Leader reports InnerBlue's filings show the company has just $110,000 in assets, with only $929 in its bank account. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
A forum hosted by the City of Moorhead last night gave an opportunity for residents to give comment and give some information about logging in the city. Officials with the Kentucky Division of Forestry, the Division of Water, and the city were on hand to answer questions. Primarily relating to a logging operation on Knapp Avenue, many unhappy residents asked about the possibility of passing an ordinance to put a weight limit or restrict logging trucks on the street as a means to halt the project. City Attorney Joyce Stevens says that's not really a possibility.
There's statute on logging trucks also that they're allowed to leave the farm or the place where they're logging to take to their point. But we can't prove that it's not a garbage truck, it's not a school bus, it's not a cement truck, it's not a construction truck. If we place any limits, it will be on all those trucks and not just logging trucks. We have to treat everyone the same. We can't single out loggers.
The city is continuing to explore options on the matter. Mayor Laura White Brown says information has been turned over to various legal firms for review. A full broadcast of the forum can be viewed on the city's Facebook page.
The artistic talents of faculty members from Moorhead State University's Department of Art and Design are set to be showcased at the annual MSU Art and Design Faculty Exhibition. It opens tonight and runs through Friday, October 18th. Gallery director Melissa Youngbluth says it's a chance for students to see their instructors in a different way as working artists.
It's kind of an opening to the school year, and particularly for newer students so that they can see what we all do as a faculty when we're not teaching, but how it might influence our teaching. So, it's kind of an intro to us outside of the classroom.
The opening reception is from 5 to 7 tonight at the Golden Yang Art Gallery on the first floor of the Claypool Young Art Building on MSU's campus. The event will feature live music from the faculty members with the Kentucky Traditional Music Center. For more information about the exhibition, visit moorheadstate.edu/art.
A division of the Administrative Office of the Courts is hosting a series of community forums around the state to discuss ways to improve the foster care system. The forums are being held as a part of implementation of the Family First Prevention Services Act, a federal reform which focuses largely on prevention services to keep children from entering the foster care system. The Department for Community-Based Services held a series of forums over the summer to give an overview on the law. DCBS Commissioner Eric Clark was in Moorhead during the final meeting. He says Kentucky is being very proactive as an early implementer.
When they passed House Bill 1 during the 2018 legislative session, that it's in our best interest to be a good steward of this opportunity and draw this federal act into our work now rather than later, so that we don't do all this work that we're taking on in the Commonwealth in a silo only for October 1, 2021 to hit, and we haven't taken into consideration the Family First Prevention Services Act.
All states must be in compliance with the reform by October 2021. This set of forums is being hosted by citizen foster care review boards around the state. For a full schedule of those events, visit their Facebook page.
The Madison County Jail is dealing with chronic overcrowding. The facility was designed with 184 beds. The current inmate count is 413. Madison County jailer Steve Tussey tells WKYT overcrowding has caused extreme tension among inmates and staff.
A typical cell in the jail that was built to accommodate 10 to 12 will have, upwards of 30 people in it. So when you have that many people in that close proximity, obviously the tensions are going to be very high.
At one time, an expansion of the jail was just a dream. However, in July of 2018, Madison County Judge Executive Reagan Taylor was forced to pull the plug on the expansion.
Lexington is launching a six-month dig into the city's services as officials look for ways to trim spending. As WUKY's Josh James explains, budget forecasts show the city on an unsustainable trajectory.
The Lexington Herald-Leader reports the city's chief information officer is heading up an initiative dubbed Rethink Lexington, which aims to seek out duplicated services and other avenues to generate savings as the city projects a $29 million deficit by 2023. But Mayor Linda Gorton, whose first budget called for a reset of city spending, including a freeze on new positions and cuts for city divisions, says the latest budget push is more of an opportunity than a crisis.
I don't think it complicates things. I think it will just make things clearer, really. It's an opportunity for us as a city to do things better, serve our citizens better and more efficiently.
Lexington faces a number of financial challenges in the coming years, with dramatic increases in pensions and other fixed costs, and softening revenue due to slowing job and wage growth, a drop in franchise fees, and other sources of funding. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Healthcare advocates are calling on Kentucky lawmakers to do what they can to make insulin more affordable. According to the American Diabetes Association, the list price of insulin has jumped by 64% since 2014. Louisville resident Angie Summers told the state's Interim Joint Committee on Banking and Insurance that she's had to self-ration the insulin needed for her type 2 diabetes or just go without.
A lot of times for me, that made it easier for me to put it on the back burner. You know, that made it easier for me to say, well, I have to make rent, so insulin's going to have to wait.
More than 500,000 Kentuckians, just over 15% of the state's adult population, live with diabetes.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast for your region, Thursday sunny with a high near 78, Thursday night mostly clear with a low around 57, Friday sunny with a high near 80, Friday night partly cloudy with a low around 62, Saturday sunny with a high near 82, Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 61. Sunday, sunny with a high near 82. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 63.
Taking a look at your region's temperatures for Flemingburg, it's 87 degrees, also 87 in Mount Sterling. It's 89 degrees in Maysville and Ashland and Lexington, 88 degrees in Grayson, 91 degrees in Inez. And here in Moorhead, it's 87 degrees. On our feature segment today, even in this 21st century, politicians who take the oath of office in Kentucky are required to make this rather unusual affirmation. WUKY's Alan Lytle reports.
I, being a citizen of this state, I, being a citizen of this state,
have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state.
Have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state.
Nor out of it.
Nor out of it.
It turns out there's a very good reason that antiquated verbiage is still part of the oath. In the 19th century, the Bluegrass State, like the rest of the country, had a bit of a problem with men of good standing settling their differences with deadly weapons.
Well, it was often said that a reputation meant more to a man than anything, because most people at that time had very few physical possessions. And so all they really had was their reputation.
Historian Tony Turnbow is well-versed on the practice.
During the early 1800s, a lot of men embellished their reputation, not only with the way they dressed, the kind of horses that they rode. That was their public persona, as people do today. But their reputation was, if anyone insulted them, they felt duty-bound to defend that at the point of a duel. Or the threat of killing the person to establish, in fact, that they were honorable men who would not put up with an insult.
Now the Kentucky Historical Society has put together an exhibit highlighting dueling in the Commonwealth.
With Hamilton opening in Louisville in June this year, we wanted to kind of try to tie into some of the buzz around that.
Carol Bolton is Director of Educational Programming for KHS and the curator of Dueling Grounds at the Old State Capitol Building in downtown Frankfort.
Because so many of the men who served here were involved in duels during their lives.
Dueling Grounds features not only the stories, but some of the actual items, including a pair of pistols once owned by a man usually known to history as an adept negotiator.
Henry Clay, very famous Kentuckian who spent time in Frankfort as a politician before he went on to Washington, he was involved in two different duels throughout his lifetime. It's that kind of ironic that he was known as the Great Compromiser, but he did not want to compromise where honor was concerned. And so he actually dueled a fellow member of the State House of Representatives, and later, when he was serving as Secretary of State, actually dueled a congressman that he'd had a longstanding antagonistic relationship with.
But not every confrontation ended in death. There's also the story of a famous duel in 1841 between Cassius Marcellus Clay and Robert Wycliffe Jr.
Both of the men did serve in the House of Representatives here in this building. There was a fence taken during a debate, and Clay challenged Wycliffe to a duel. They missed their first shot, and they stopped after that because they had fulfilled the necessary requirements of honor.
And Bolton points out the weapons the combatants selected weren't always pistols.
There was a duel between two students at Transylvania University in 1852, and they used shotguns, standing at 40 yards.
Dueling Grounds is also an interactive exhibit. In fact, visitors can handle replica pistols and step off the required amount of paces using red vinyl footprints on the floor.
Each duelist, they'd start back to back, and each would go 5 paces away from each other for a total of 10 paces. And then they would turn and face each other. And they didn't fire at the same time. One of the seconds would call out, 1, 2, 3, fire. And at any point, they could then fire their weapon. But we just wanted to kind of give people a physical sense of, like, roughly how far away you might stand.
Bolton says the exhibit also encourages people to write down and share how they deal with interpersonal conflicts.
When we first put the exhibit up, I answered the question myself, and how do you solve conflicts today? My answer was not on social media.
Dueling Grounds is on display through October 19th at the Old State Capitol Building in downtown Frankfort. Reporting in Lexington, I'm Alan Lytle.
It's 449 and 87 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ty Martin, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Cody Robinson has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Sports teams across the 16th region are gearing up for upcoming games. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson. In 16th Regional High School soccer action tonight, Morgan County travels to Wolf County for a doubleheader. The girls face off at 5:30 and the boys begin at 7:30. Fleming County girls travel to Pendleton County for a 6:30 matchup. And East Carter girls travel to Montgomery County. That game is set to begin at 6. The Rowan County girls soccer team is gearing up for a game with Russell Thursday night. Rowan is coming off a 7-0 sweep of West Carter last night. Head coach Alan Evans says his team knows what to expect from the Red Devils.
I think it's going to be a good matchup. It's really going to see the pecking order of the region, who's going to be the second team. Ashland's on top, and then a kind of a tie between us and Russell, who's going to be a little bit ahead this early on in the season.
Game time tomorrow in Flatwoods is set for 6:30. Rowan boys soccer team is preparing to host the King of the Mountains tournament this weekend. The Rowan County girls volleyball team swept Bath County last night at home to move to 10-2 on the year. The Vikings were able to build early leads against the Lady Cats and keep them. That's something head coach Steve Walter says his club has struggled with at times this year.
We've had probably 4, maybe 5 matches where we've had substantial leads and give those up. And it's all, you know, one rotation where we just, like, our passing goes south, or, you know, our hitters start to hit it in the net or hit it out. So we're trying to figure out what's the catalyst to that.
The Vikings had the night off. They will be back in action Thursday when they head to Ashland Blazer for a 7 p.m. first serve. Only one 16th region volleyball team is in action tonight. Morgan County is set to host Lee County at 6:30 p.m. The Rowan County football Vikings are on the practice field this week preparing for their first home game of the year. They host Raceland Friday night in Moorhead. Rowan head coach Kelly Ford says his team is in for a fight when the Rams come to town.
Raceland's a really, really good football team coming in. It's going to be a challenge for us. They're pretty legit. They got 3 or 4 guys that run 4 or 5s. They love to throw the football, so it'll be a challenge on our secondary.
The Vikings come into the game undefeated on the heels of a 40-7 win at Bath County last Friday. Raceland looks to rebound from a 41-0 loss to Russell last week. A member of the Moorhead State University volleyball team has received an OVC accolade this week. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports.
Following the season's opening weekend, Moorhead State's Chandler Clark continued to grow her trophy collection as she garnered Setter of the Week from the Ohio Valley Conference. This is the 4th time Clark has received the award, dishing out 86 assists across 8 sets while adding 12 digs, 3 kills, and a service ace. For her career, Clark ranks 11th on the Moorhead State Career Assists Leaderboard. Clark and Moorhead State returned to the court this weekend, competing at home for the first time during the 2019 slate. The Eagles host the Eagle Challenge Friday and Saturday, welcoming Georgia State, Presbyterian, and Providence into Johnson Arena. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Coming off its first win of the year, Moorhead State Soccer is preparing this week to host Miami on Friday. This year's Eagle Club features 2 true freshman goalkeepers, Grace Gaffney and Kayla Landman. Landman helped seal a 2-1 victory over Akron last weekend, and Gaffney looks to be in the lineup this week, according to head coach Warren Lipka.
Well, that's, you know, baptism by fire. You know, they get thrown right into their Division I games. You know, Grace she's got kind of a hip pointer, so she's coming back. She should be ready for Friday. But Kayla, you know, got our first victory as a Division I college athlete, and I think that was fantastic for her.
MSU is 1-2 on the year, while Miami of Ohio was still looking for its first victory of the season. The Eagles and the Red Hawks square off Friday evening at 6 p.m. at MSU Recreation and Wellness Intramural Field. The Cincinnati Reds are resuming their series against the Phillies at home this evening. They've dropped the first 2 games, but the team has seen some good news. Outfielder Aristides Aquino was named both Rookie and National League Player of the Month after breaking the NL record for most homers in a month by a rookie. Aquino tells Fox Sports Ohio it's an exciting time.
Yes, you know, first of all, I think it's a blessing from God. I feel really happy about it for me and my family. We celebrated this, and, you know, this isn't going to stop right now.
First pitch for the Reds this evening is set for 6:40. And finally in sports, the Breeders' Cup isn't coming back to Lexington until 2020, but officials with the city and Keeneland are already touting the event and new attractions organizers plan to offer. The Breeders' Cup will include what officials called an international village downtown, meant to bring a bigger scale and feel to the event. Breeders' Cup President Craig Fravel said the event was looking to double its ticket sales in a city the fraction of the size of its previous home, Los Angeles.
Looking back on it, I kind of wonder if we had completely lost our minds. But the fact of the matter is, the Breeders' Cup in 2015 set a new standard for the event altogether.
Organizers say they expect to bring more music and entertainment to the town in 2020, though they plan to take more precautions to avoid rainouts. The races will be held November 6th and 7th in 2020. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Cody Robinson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer welcomes Miami of Ohio at 6 p.m. on Friday, and volleyball hosts the Eagle Challenge this weekend, featuring matches with Presbyterian, Providence, and Georgia State. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your stock market report for WMKY. Stocks rose as tensions in Hong Kong between the government and protesters eased after the withdrawal of a controversial bill. And at 10 minutes before 4 o'clock, the Dow Industrials were up 205 points. For a gain of 0.8%, the S&P 500 was up almost 1%, while the NASDAQ advanced 1.1%. Caterpillar shares were up 1.3%, and Micron Technology was another big winner, up nearly 5%. Intel was the best performer in the Dow, rising nearly 3%. And bank stocks got a boost as the U.S. yield curve uninverted, with the 10-year rate now trading above its 2-year counterpart. Bank of America and Citigroup each gained more than 1%, while J.P. Morgan advanced 1.1%. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said that she will withdraw a contentious extradition bill that has sparked months of mass protests, and the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong soared around 4% on reports of this overnight, that the withdrawal of the bill was imminent, and most of your markets in Asia were strong, as well as markets in Europe. Earlier today, a report showed growth in China's services sector had expanded at its fastest rate in 3 months in the month of August, despite broader economic headwinds. In Europe, of course, Brexit is in focus. In Britain, a cross-party alliance of rebel lawmakers defeated British Prime Minister Boris Johnson in Parliament, moving to prevent him from taking the country out of the EU without a formal agreement on October 31st. This prompted the new Prime Minister to announce that he would immediately push for a snap election. And sterling has since pared some of its recent losses against the U.S. dollar. The British currency gained almost 1% to climb above $1.21 today after falling to its lowest level since October 2016 in the previous session. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it's Marathon Petroleum up $1.14 at $50.78, Dollar General up $2.15 at $157.78, U.S. Bancorp up 44 cents at $52.46, UPS up $2.15 at $119.48, and Valvoline was up 23 cents to trade at $22.42. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Shop local at the First Friday Outdoor Market, 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, September 6th, on the lawn of the Rowan County Arts Center. Locally made arts and crafts, jewelry, and homegrown produce, food trucks, and live music by the wood sheep. Free admission and vendor spaces are still available. More information or to register, call 783-9857. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Lori Likens, Jonathan Burton, Zoe Hall, and Cody Robinson. KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WUKY's news director and my good friend, Alan Lytle. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ty Martin and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.